And now we turn our attention once again to Richmond, where lawmakers are back in session this week. Our man at the Capitol, Michael Pope, is here to break it down for us. Thanks for joining us again, Michael.
Thank you, Luke.
So, the most important thing lawmakers did this week is perhaps also the most predictable, rejecting Democratic Governor Terry McAuliffe's plan to expand Medicaid. That's the federal insurance program for people who live in poverty or with disabilities. What happened there?
Well, you could say it was low drama but high stakes. Low drama in the sense that everybody sort of knew what was going to happen before they arrived here in Richmond, but also high stakes because you'll remember back in 2013, this was the central campaign promise for Terry McAuliffe when he ran for governor, expanding Medicaid to 400,000 people who live in poverty or with disabilities. And so the Democrats and Republicans have been fighting bitterly ever since, including this week, when Democrats said Republicans were being morally unacceptable and fiscally irresponsible. Now, on the House floor, Democrat Charnell Herring made a passionate case for expanding Medicaid. This is part of her speech.
This is very real to so many Virginians, not only in my district, but I dare to say to your districts, too, all of us. This is real. This is their life, and it's the life of their families.
Now, Republicans reject the idea that it would be fiscally irresponsible to accept one of the key components of former President Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act. They say Virginia simply can't afford to offer health insurance to people who live in poverty or with disabilities. Republican caucus chairman Tim Hugo told me this.
Medicaid is growing at an exponential rate. We've got to be very careful if you see what's happening. Medicaid costs are crowding out costs like education, transportation.
But, Luke, the fight is not over yet. In a written statement, Democratic Governor Terry McAuliffe vowed to press on with the fight and do anything that he could to expand health insurance. Now, it's unclear exactly what he could do that he hasn't already done, but whatever that might be could unfold over the next few months.
Well, one issue that a lot of people in Southwest Virginia were focused on was economic development for coal country. What happened there?
Well, people across the state want to do economic development to bring countries from Europe or China over here to Virginia to put all those unemployed coal miners back to work. The real difference of opinion is who gets the money to do that economic development. Republican delegate Terry Kilgore, who represents that part of Virginia, wants to create sort of a special team of hired hands, hired experts, people who have many, many years of doing international economic development, and have them sort of perform this task. The Democratic governor, though, wants to put this in the hands of Virginia's existing economic development crowd and have them do it. So the real difference is not necessarily the goal of economic development. It was who gets the money to do it. Kilgore told me that he plans to move ahead with what he wants to do anyway, even if that takes private funds. So I would expect that to play out over the next coming months.
You know, it sometimes seems like the sausage making will never end. But, Michael, the end is in sight, isn't it?
The end is, in fact, in sight. Virginia's governor, the position of Virginia's governor, is actually very powerful. All 40 of his vetoes were sustained. Half of his budget amendments actually passed. You know, the Republicans would need a two-thirds majority to overturn anything the governor did. They simply didn't have those numbers. So the governor and his people are looking toward a legacy as his term ends.
Well, so it looks like the governor's final few months in office are going to be action-packed, huh?
That's right.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Michael.
Thank you.